A Land of Thine Inheritance, Elder Levi Edgar Young, Levi Edgar Young, Conference Report, April 1950, pages 62-66, My Brethren and Sisters, we are reminded this day that 100 years ago Latter-day Saint missionaries were called to preach the Gospel of Jesus Christ in Germany. From that time on, hundreds of the people of that land in Switzerland have accepted the revealed Word of God, and have migrated to Utah and have contributed much to our culture and development. The German music particularly has been of enduring joy to us, for in this very tabernacle where we are assembled, the creations of Bach, Mozart, Wagner, Haydn, and the oratorios and operas of Handel have been heard with deep appreciation of the masters. In hundreds of homes the writings of Goethe and Schiller are well known. I believe and have faith in the German people and feel that they will emerge from their days of sorrow and tragic condition and will come back to their former culture in days to come. Divine Life of Jesus. Tomorrow, Sunday, is the Easter day. Millions of Christians will kneel at sacred shrines and in churches and pour out their souls to God in deep gratitude for their knowledge that God lives and that death is but the entrance into immortal life. How blessed is the King that cometh in the name of the Lord. Beautifully does the prophet Nephi write of the divine birth of the Savior Jesus Christ, and it came to pass that I looked and beheld the great city of Jerusalem, and also other cities, and I beheld the city of Nazareth, and in the city of Nazareth I beheld a virgin, and she was exceedingly fair and white, and it came to pass that I beheld that she was carried away in the Spirit, and after she had been carried away in the Spirit for the space of a time the angel spake unto me, saying, Look, and I looked and beheld a virgin again, bearing a child in her arms, and the angel said unto me, Behold the Lamb of God, yea, even the Son of the Eternal Father. It was in the hearts of the humblest and most faithful poor people that his words found lodgment. Whenever he was overtaken with deep sorrow, he left his disciples and went into the woods to pray. The words of Jesus lived in the fullness of their truth. The soul of man was to be unafraid and was to deal direct with God. We read in Mark that all things are possible to him that believeth. He had been baptized by his beloved John, who declared that the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the good news. He founded his church, and his disciples were dominated by the Spirit of the living Christ. They came to know the power of the Holy Ghost in the ideal life of the kingdom. Repentance and faith signified attachment to God. With his crucifixion, his life was destined to change the history of mankind more deeply, more widely, and more permanently than any other from the beginning of time unto the present hour. It was the resurrection that gave the knowledge of eternal life to all the children of God. Saint Luke gives us a sacred description of the resurrection. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre, and they entered in, and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid, and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words, and returned from the sepulchre, and told all these things unto the 11, and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, and Joanna, and Mary the mother of James, and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles, and their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Then arose Peter, and ran unto the sepulchre, and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves, and departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. America's destiny. In after ages America was discovered by Christopher Columbus, who was directed by the Spirit of the Lord to cross the mighty deep. His prayer on landing was a dedication of this land to God. Then came the people from England and other countries of Europe to America, and they brought in their little ships not money, not merchandise, but they came weighted with religion, learning, law, and the spirit of man. Strong in God and their own heroic patience, they began their combat with danger and hardship. They built a house for God, then for themselves. They established education and a stern but august morality. They gave their sons to God, through him to virtue, and through virtue to the state. So they laid their foundations of government and life. In time the government of the United States was established with its Constitution, which we believe was written by the blessing and power of God. The formation of the Republic of the United States was an event ordered of God for the bringing of His kingdom upon the earth. De Tocqueville wrote, A republic is the highest form of political institution, and the highest form of republic is one made up of different nationalities, brought under one government and one flag. Generations before, John Winthrop, one of the pioneers of Massachusetts, wrote, "It will be a great service to the church of great consequence to carry the gospel into those parts of the world to help on the coming of the Gentiles." And generations later, George Washington uttered the prayer, "Almighty God, we make our earnest prayer that thou wilt keep the United States in thy holy protection, that thou wilt incline the hearts of the citizens to cultivate a spirit of subordination and obedience to government, to entertain a brotherly affection and love for one another and for their fellow citizens of the United States at large, land of liberty." We read in the Book of Mormon how Lehi's son Jacob taught the people the sacredness of America as a land preserved by the hand of God for his future holy work. "But behold, this land," said God, "shall be a land of twine inheritance, and the Gentiles shall be blessed upon the land, and this land shall be a land of liberty unto the Gentiles, and there shall be no kings upon the land, who shall raise up unto the Gentiles, and I will fortify this land against all other nations, and he that fighteth against Zion shall perish, smith God, for he that raiseth up a king against me shall perish, for I, the Lord, the King of heaven, will be their king, and I will be a light unto them forever, that hear my words. Wherefore, I will consecrate this land unto thy seed, and them who shall be numbered among thy seed, forever, for the land of their inheritance, for it is a choice land, saith God unto me, above all other lands. Wherefore I will have all men that dwell thereon that they shall worship me, smith God." The 19th century saw many new changes in economic, social, and religious thought. America became a land of freedom, and men could worship God as they pleased. In time, America became a nation of different churches. Christianity became more divided, churches began to dispute with one another, and the divisions of Christianity became an affront to the divine teachings of the Redeemer. The world had become filled, says Matthew Arnold, with unprofitable disputes. The church had been turned into an academy, and religion into wrangling. It had fallen into endless schism. The simple teachings of Christ our Redeemer had been lost. Church re-established, in the day when the prophet Joseph Smith lived, the divisions of Christendom were seen. His going into the woods to pray was a divine act, for through the deep faith of the boy, God spoke to him. We all know the story. God re-established his church. The priesthood of God was restored by John the Baptist, and Peter, James, and John. They came again to earth as resurrected beings. Thus Joseph Smith came to understand the supreme test of religion revelation, religion as a purely human product, valuable as it is to human life and progress, has not the inner vigor to retain a place of commanding power. Religion requires revelation. The completest carrier of revelation can be no other, or less, than a chosen personality. This was the Christian conception in the beginning. So we have the restored gospel today. The church has its priesthood with its apostles, 70s, and all the other offices in the holy priesthood of God. Our foundation is the divine truth. We believe in God the eternal Father, and in his Son, Jesus Christ, and in the Holy Ghost. Dedicatory prayer. I commend to you 70s and to all who hold the priesthood of God the dedicatory prayer of the prophet Joseph Smith as given in the Kirtland Temple in March 1832. Among the many thoughts he expressed was, "Thanks be to thy name, O Lord God of Israel, who keenest covenant and showest mercy unto thy servants who walk uprightly before thee, with all their hearts. And as all have not faith, seek ye diligently, and teach one another words of wisdom, yea, seek ye out of the best books, words of wisdom, seek learning even by study, and also by faith. O Lord, we delight not in the destruction of our fellow men, their souls are precious before thee. Have mercy, O Lord, upon the rulers of our land. May those principles which were so honorably and nobly defended, viz., the constitution of our land, by our fathers, be established forever. Remember the kings, the princes, the nobles, and the great ones of the earth, and all people, and the churches, all the poor, the needy, and afflicted ones of the earth, and may all the scattered remnants of Israel, who have been driven to the ends of the earth, come to a knowledge of the truth, believe in the Messiah, and be redeemed from oppression, and rejoice before thee. My Redeemer liveth." What a divine admonition for all of us on this Easter day. We can all bear testimony to these truths and to the truthfulness of the words of Job, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth, and though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God." In conclusion, I want to give you the prayer of John Drinkwater, the English writer. "We know the paths wherein our feet should press, across our hearts are written thy decrees. Yet now, O Lord, be merciful to bless with more than ease. Grant us the will to fashion as we feel. Grant us the strength to labor as we know. Grant us the purpose, ribboned edged with steel, to strike the blow. Knowledge we ask not, knowledge thou hast lent, but, Lord, the will there lies our bitter need. Give us to build above the deep intent the deed, the deed. I pray that we may all be blessed this Easter day with the sacred knowledge that God lives, that Jesus Christ is the Redeemer of the world, and that Joseph Smith lives and is a prophet of God. Amen.